Okay, great. Well, welcome everybody. My name is Steve Walk. I'm the Communications Director for Citizens Climate Lobby. And we're going to talk about meeting with the editorial boards at your newspaper. And so first question that would probably pop into everybody's mind is, well, why do we want to meet with newspaper editorial boards? And so there's a number of reasons why we want to meet with editorial boards. We generate our political will through the publication of letters to the editor and op-eds and so forth. As powerful as these are, they do carry a great deal of weight with our members of Congress. An editorial endorsement for our policy carries the greatest influence because it represents the official view of the newspaper. So when candidates run for office, they often get interviewed by editorial boards in the hope of getting an endorsement for their election. So when a newspaper endorses a particular policy or legislation, elected officials and those who are running for office, they take notice of that because it could be a factor in securing the newspaper's endorsement in the next election. So newspaper editorials, of course, also educate and influence their readers. So an endorsement from the newspaper can influence and motivate constituents to support our policy and communicate their support to members of Congress. So moving on here, from time to time, Citizens Climate Lobby will send out what we call media packets for our volunteers to pitch to editorial writers. And the aim of those media packets is to get the newspaper to write an editorial talking about our solution. So by meeting with the editorial board, you dramatically increase the chances that A, the editorial writer will actually look at the media packet, and B, that they'll write something that reflects our perspective. So by meeting with the editorial board, you establish a relationship with a contact at the board who is then more likely to return your phone calls and also respond to your email. So moving on here, what are the objectives in meeting with editorial boards? So as I mentioned, the primary goal, the brass ring, if you will, is that we're reaching for is an editorial endorsement for CCL's proposal of carbon fee and dividend. Now, if you get an immediate commitment for an editorial, great, but there are other objectives for the meeting. So some of those other objectives would be to establish a relationship with a contact on the editorial board, to have them perhaps consider writing an editorial when our legislation is actually introduced, and perhaps maybe even get a commitment to publish op-eds periodically from your chapter. And you also want to offer your group and CCL as a resource for the editorial board so that whenever they decide, hey, we're gonna write something about climate change today, they might come to us for information. So why do we want to meet with the editorial boards after the elections? So the elections right now are dominating the opinion pages. So to try to meet before the elections, probably number one, you're not going to be very successful at getting a meeting because, as I said, they've got all these candidates who are parading through their offices at this time. And there's not going to be much that's going to be discussed besides the elections on the editorial page before November 8th. But after the elections, the thoughts are going to turn to the agenda for the new administration and the new Congress. And this is going to be a good time for us to look at what are the possibilities for getting something done in the next Congress. So, and it's also a time when newspapers, usually at the end of the year, newspapers determine what their editorial priorities are going to be for the coming year. So you can, you know, see about whether or not the newspaper is going to put climate change on their agenda for the coming year. And then there's also the reason that we want to meet after the elections is that we kind of want to prime the pump for getting their support for our legislation in 2017. So next, you know, what about getting a meeting? How do we do that? So the first thing you'd want to do in trying to secure a meeting with the editorial board is to find out who the editorial page editor or the opinion page editor is at the newspaper. And you can usually find that information fairly easily on the newspaper's website, usually on the homepage. If you scroll down to the bottom in real teeny type, down at the bottom, there'll be a link that says contact us. And if you go to that page, there's usually a link to a staff directory. You should be able to find who is the editorial page editor, what's their email, what's their phone number, and all of that. So that would be step one, is to find out, okay, who is it that I need to request a meeting with? How do I get a hold of them? That's fairly easy. The next thing that I would do is to look for an opportunity in the newspaper to interact with the opinion page editor. So in that sense, requesting a meeting with the editorial board is very much like looking for a letter to the editor opportunity. So if you're reading the newspaper every day and you see something on the opinion page that kind of relates to the climate issue or the climate solutions or something like that, it's a great opportunity then to send your note to the opinion page editor, you know, because they just wrote something. It's usually the best time to interact with a journalist is when they've published something and you respond to it. Yeah, I mean, they're human beings. When somebody takes notice of what they do, you know, it lights them up and they're more likely to respond to that. So when you're writing to the opinion editor, what do you want to say in that request for getting a meeting? So first thing you do is to introduce yourself and Citizens Climate Lobby. And then acknowledge something that they had in the paper. That's a good way to sort of open up the conversation with them. And then after you've acknowledged what they've published in the newspaper, you want to get into the reason that you want to meet with them. So you might say, hey, with the elections over after November 8th, it's time to talk about what the new administration and Congress can actually accomplish. And we think 2017 is the year that effective bipartisan climate legislation can be passed. And we want to enlist your help to make that happen. Can we meet with you? So that's kind of the basic outline of the note that you would send to an opinion editor to request a meeting. Don't make it too long. I wouldn't go more than, you know, about one page or so. You get past one page and people are, oh God, I don't have time for this. So try to keep it as concise as you can, but also, you know, make a strong case for why they should be meeting with you. So then we come around to planning the meeting. So once you have a meeting set, schedule a time to get together with your team, you know, the people who are going to go to the meeting with you, and talk about your agenda, your strategy, and the roles that you want to assign for participants. So if you haven't already researched the newspaper's editorial position on climate change and policy, this would be a good time to do that. You don't want to go into a meeting with the editorial board not knowing what their position is on climate change. It really, you know, doesn't make you look very well prepared if you don't know what they've been talking about on the issue. So in the resources section of CCL Community, we have also a suggested agenda for the meeting. And so at your planning meeting, decide on different roles that people are going to take in the meeting. So you've got people who will be the facilitator, people who will be a note taker, You will have briefers. And let me explain the briefers. You want to assign topics that each of your members will be responsible for covering if questions arise on that stuff. So you might have somebody who can do a quick laser talk on the REMI study, for instance. You want somebody who can, you know, do the quick overview of what carbon fee and dividend and those sorts of things. And the idea here isn't so much that you're going to have everybody do all these laser talks. It's more that you want to be prepared and you want to know who will handle the questions when they arise in the meeting. So you may want to include a community leader as part of your delegation. Be careful with that. If you do that, you may want to have, you know, somebody who's a business leader or an elected official or maybe a faith leader. That's great. That's great to have somebody influential with you in your meeting. But if you do that, make sure that they're on the same page with our policy, and also make sure that they're clear, you know, what the agenda is. You don't want somebody coming in and just kind of hijacking your agenda in the meeting. So a person of influence is great to bring into a meeting. Be careful. So next, we'll take a look at the agenda and the meeting plan. So rather than a presentation, you know, where you're just doing all the talking, what you really want to do is have a conversation. But you want to have a conversation in which you've provided the context, you know, so that you can steer that conversation in a certain direction. So there's a great temptation to tell them the things that we want them to know, but we really have to tell them the things that they need to know. But we don't know what they need to know unless we have a conversation with them, a back and forth in which we are listening to them. This sounds very much like, you know, the way we conduct our meetings with congressional offices. It's kind of the same thing. So a good meeting, therefore, will be one in which you do half the talking and the editorial board does the other half. So after, you know, quick introductions, a little about CCL and acknowledging some of the things that the newspaper has written, we're ready to get the conversation rolling. So moving on here, so what's the context that we want to have for that conversation? So I might say something like, there's been a lot of movement behind the scenes in Congress on climate change. We believe Republicans are ready to support a market-based solution, and you can provide the political cover for them to step up. So we're going to share some information that we have, and then we'd like to have your thoughts. So after kind of that opening statement, then there's a little bit more to setting up the conversation. You want to provide them with the information that they need to be asking questions. So you'll definitely want to go over what our proposal is, carbon fee and dividend, and a quick overview of the REMI study, which talks about the benefits of our policy. And then you want to talk a little bit about the progress that has been made in Congress. Most people and editorial boards included probably have this perception that absolutely nothing is being done on climate change and that the parties will never get together and all that. No, there's some things that have been happening behind the scenes that people don't know about, like the Climate Solutions Caucus. So you'll definitely want to tell them a little bit about that, a little bit more of the context that you want to provide is to mention the Paris Climate Accord, which was agreed to last year in Paris, and now just recently enough countries have come on board with ratifying that agreement that it will go into effect on November 4th. But so the U.S. Has made commitments for this Paris Agreement on climate change. And the U.S. mechanism for meeting that commitment, however, is the Clean Power Plan, which it's an executive order, and it's very tenuous. It's also insufficient. It's kind of subject to the to the whims of whoever happens to be sitting in the White House. So the bottom line is that we need something better. We need legislation that is effective and also has broad support. So now that you've provided the context for that conversation, it's time to get the ball rolling on that conversation. So, let's talk a little bit about, getting Republicans who we know that there's Republicans who want to step up. And the big thing that the newspaper can do is to provide the political cover for those Republicans to step up. And that's where the newspaper can come in and where an editorial and endorsement can really give members of Congress who want to do the right thing, but they're afraid that it might have some political ramifications for them. The newspaper endorses a policy and encourages them to step up, then that increases the chances that they will. So after you've established that that context for the conversation, just say, hey, what do you think? What are the questions that you have? And so the conversation will be rolling along then after that. And then moving on, as the conversation winds down, there are a few things that you will definitely want to make sure that you handle in the meeting. Don't let the meeting end without taking care of some specific things. Number one is you'll ask the question and you'll want to get the answer: will the newspaper endorse carbon fee and dividend? Next thing you'll want to know is who is the person on the editorial board who we should be in touch with? Who's our contact? You'll also want to ask if we can be a resource for the editorial board when they're weighing in on climate change. And then also ask them if they would consider accepting submissions for op-eds from your local CCL group. And then just thank them for their time. So that's pretty much the meeting. One of the things that I'd want to caution about is that sometimes the conversation can get off track in a meeting. And what you want to do is avoid going down the rabbit hole. So if that starts happening, if an editorial board member, starts going off on some weird tangent or something like that, you want to get the conversation back on track. But at the same time, you don't want to be insulting or anything. So in a very gracious way, you might just say something like, this is a really interesting discussion, and I wish we had more time for it, but there's really some other ground that we need to cover on this. So, like I said, just try to avoid the rabbit hole in the meeting. And then the last thing I want to mention here is what I call the Fourth Estate pep talk, and this is to sort of remind the people at the newspaper what their calling is, what their true purpose is. And so this is my a nice little speech. You can kind of do a variation on this, but this is sort of what I would say is, before we go, I want to acknowledge the critical role that you, the press, have to play in solving this problem. You are, as I'm sure you're well aware, the fourth branch of government in our democracy. You're the branch that lights a fire under the other branches when they fail to do their jobs. The founding fathers thought this role was so important that they put freedom of the press in the very first amendment to the Constitution. So right now, Congress is failing to take action on climate change, and it's a failure that jeopardizes not only our nation, but the entire world. You can't sit back and watch it all fall apart like some bemused third party. This is a fight that you need to be in. This is a time when it's absolutely essential to fulfill your role as that fourth branch of government by holding the other branches accountable. We have a solution that is simple, effective, and easy for all sides to embrace. And we hope that you'll do everything in your power to inspire, prod, shame, and motivate Congress to make it a reality. So after the meeting, you might want to huddle up a little bit and do a quick debrief. You'll also want to follow up with a thank you note to the editor. If you've promised them any resources, of course, make sure you follow through on that. And most importantly, start cultivating that relationship with the contact on the editorial board. And so, that might mean every couple of weeks, just sending them a quick note to acknowledge something that you like that they had in the paper. But, as I say, start developing that relationship so they don't forget who you are, so that when, comes time that we have a new media packet or another request, we can go to them. And as I say, we'll get our emails returned, we'll get our phone calls returned, and that kind of thing. So that's it for now. Ricky, I hope my voice quality held up through all of that. Did it?
Yep, you sounded fantastic.
Okay, great. Okay, super. So we'll pause then and see if anybody has some questions.
So right then, when you started talking, your voice got robotic. So maybe you want to go ahead and close out PowerPoint. That was the only time it did, I swear.
Okay, hold on a second. Let me close out my... Where is that thing? Okay.
Yeah. I'll let you. So while you're doing that, I'll remind folks how they can ask questions. So thanks, Steve. And so if you see on your screen, if you guys have joined us and you have joined us online and not by phone, you should see a little option on your screen for Q&A. So you can click on that option, type in any question that you may have, and we'll open up the line. We'll let Steve address that. One question that showed up earlier, Steve, I think they answered it myself. They were asking, was this presentation sort of a repeat of what we already had on CCU? But then I think this is more specific to also trying to get some post-election editorial board meetings going. And so there are some differences here and some different things that we're trying to do at this point. So maybe you'll just touch on that again.
Sure. Yeah. Much of what I went over here was in the previous webinar that we had on CCL Community. Did a little tweaking to it so that it's a little bit more specific to doing our post-election meetings. A lot of this information was covered previously, but that doesn't hurt to hear it again.
Absolutely. Yeah. So just the differences between what we're trying to do normally with our editorial board meetings and what we're trying to do post-election. Obviously, to me, I, when I look at it, I just think about that, the editorial boards have been so focused for the past year on the elections that they probably haven't spent a lot of time considering climate and some other big policies. So this is a really good time to sort of redirect them.
Right. And the big thing I want people to keep in front of all of us is that, we're going to try to get our legislation passed next year. And so this is the time that we have to be kind of, priming the pump, as it were, so that even if they don't do an editorial endorsing our policy right now, it might be that they want to wait until something is actually introduced in Congress. So by meeting with them now and going over some of this information, they're going to be prepared. They're going to know what's coming, and they're going to appreciate that. And when the bill does get introduced, we come back to them and say, "Hey, we've got a bill. It's got Republicans and Democrats on it. Here's some more information about that. We'd love to see if you can endorse our bill."
Great. Beth from Delaware asked, and Beth, this is your question is what Sandy is going to address in the very next section here, but it is the briefing book and the editorial binder, and Sandy's going to review that in just a moment. Beth says she's from Delaware, so glad to have Beth with us. Rich asks, are there any additional recommendations for the biggies, talking about the Washington Post, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journals? Any references, the fact, the Washington Post has already endorsed a carbon tax. Are there any other recommendations for these big newspapers, or just you'll talk to that? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we do have a relationship with one of the members of the Washington Post editorial board. That's Steve Stromberg. We met with him, gosh, I think about 3 or 4 years ago. So we've been kind of keeping up with him. I think we've met with him several times. So the Post has really been fantastic. Anytime they write an editorial about climate change, they usually have something in there where they say the best solution is a revenue neutral carbon tax. So I've got a feeling they're pretty much handled, and they're kind of on board. And if we get a bipartisan bill introduced, I feel pretty confident that that the Post will be on board. New York Times, we've been trying for years to get a meeting with them. They are very They just don't meet with people. They sit up there in their little ivory tower, and I guess they don't want to be swayed by somebody. They want to just kind of do their own research and make their own decisions and so forth. So the New York Times is a little bit of a tough nut. If anybody knows how to crack it, I'm open to suggestions, but I'm not too optimistic about getting a meeting with the Times editorial board.
Okay, so and it's two other questions, and then we'll move on to Sandy. I'll answer one of these real quick. Manish, I hope I'm saying that name correctly, asks, is there a webinar on how to write letters to the editor, strategy, bullet points, and how to select newspapers? Absolutely. If you go to CCL Community and click on the CCU training navigation option in the top, click on media training, and then there's a whole, I think there's actually three different webinars or three different trainings on how to write letters to editor, how to respond to the right types of things that will help you get published and stuff. So if you can't find anything, just shoot me an email if you can't find it. It's Ricky, R-I-C-K-Y, at citizensclimate.org, and I'll definitely point you in the right direction there. So thanks for asking. Great question. Steve, Kate asked, our newspaper doesn't have... Oh, go ahead.
Ricky, I just want to add, if they're choosing one of the webinars on CCLU on letters to the editor, I would recommend the one from this past June, the webinar that was recorded at the conference. It's very concise, it's very tight. I'd look at that one. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I mean, if you'll send me an email, if you have any problems finding any of that stuff, just let me know. Kate asked, our newspaper doesn't have an editorial board. So they have the newspaper editor makes all the decisions. It's a circulation of about 25,000. The city's about 67. Do you have any advice on how to adapt the process you've outlined for such a situation? So it's not an editorial board. It's just a newspaper editor making the decisions.
It's pretty much the same thing, except instead of meeting with several people, you're meeting with one person. So I would just request a meeting with the person who's the opinion editor on there. Given the fact that it's just one person, I wouldn't bring in a whole army of folks. You might kind of feel like he's being ganged up on or something like that. You want to keep it fairly simple with just a couple of people or something like that. But pretty much everything that I just mentioned here would apply just as much to meeting with one person as it would to a whole board. Yeah. Okay.
And Kate wanted to add, does it change anything in your advice if the newspaper editor is publishing letters from people who deny climate science?
No, it doesn't change anything. Basically, they're printing these letters with kind of a misguided sense of objectivity. So the number one rule for journalists and newspapers is we have to be objective. Well, there's kind of a false objectivity obviously going on with climate change, but I would not make that one of your agenda items in a meeting to go in and say, why are you running letters from climate deniers or something like that. I mean, you might want to address that separately outside of the meeting or something like that, but that's another area where it's very easy to kind of go down the rabbit hole. If you start talking about denier letters to the editor, kind of stay on track, stay focused, you know, on, you know, what our solution is and that we're looking for an endorsement on it.